Hallelujah. Settle down. Enjoy Ida's music. What a blessing. Now, with our one talent, we are going to build a double mega missionary church. Everybody say double mega missionary church. Amen. What is a double mega missionary church? A double mega missionary is mega double. Double of mega. And missionary. Missionary minded. Mission minded. Soul winning minded. Mission minded. Church planting minded. Amen. 25 prophecies of the double mega missionary church. Number one, 25 prophecies of a double mega missionary church. Number one, the word of God prophesies and predicts a double mega missionary church in Australia, in the islands, in many places. Amen. And it is important that we believe these words because they are going to come to pass. And it's coming to pass practically in our lives. Amen. Number one, there shall be a rise of mountain-like churches. Mountain-like churches. That's the first of 25 prophecies of a double mega missionary church. There's going to be churches which are like mountains. And because of this, I want to encourage everyone to visit a mountain at least once in your lifetime, a real mountain. Go either for your honeymoon or for a holiday to a mountain somewhere. Swiss mountains, French Alps. Which mountain? Do you have mountains here? Blue Mountains. Are they high? Are they snow-capped? You have snow on the mountains? No, then it's a hill. You should call it Blue Hills. I'm talking of mountains, mountains that have snow all year round. Those are real mountains. The rest are hills. They are hills and slopes. I'm talking of real mountains. When you go to a real mountain, you be in awe of the mountain. It's awesome. It's scary. It's really scary. Anybody who fall in, you see, like in the mountain, you see little cracks in the snow. When you go in, if you go in, that's it. You are going down very, very far, and you never come out again. There are so many people down there who fell in there. There are a lot of people, when they find their bodies, you know, it's just they've been preserved beautifully for years. Yeah. You see glaciers like a river, but it's a river of snow and ice. It's really awesome. And, you know, when you really climb a real mountain, they have plaques on the mountain. The first person who climbed this mountain, the first person who got here, and so on. They are like achievements in the world. So when the Bible says that, in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and come and say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. This same prophecy is in Micah chapter 4, verse 2. So the last days church is going to be like a high mountain, very awesome, awesome. And you are going to be part of that last day church. Amen. And our church in Australia and the islands are going to be like mountains. Mighty mega churches. And you know, as our churches, as we meet together and we have gathering services, Swollen Sundays and such things, we are going to see the church getting bigger. The church is not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. And it's getting more powerful. Yes. And that's the prediction that it shall come to pass in the last days. So we are in the last days. If anything, we are in the last part of the last days. And the church is growing. It's getting bigger. It's getting more stronger, more mighty. In spite of everything that is going on in the world. And I tell you, when I started in the ministry years ago, you know, it was like, I've backed the wrong horse or I'm doing the wrong thing. When people are following careers, they are good careers, they are giving themselves to their careers, their business. Pastor Jerry was giving himself to accountancy. He was giving himself to the UK, to London system, to mortgages. Oh, Pastor Jerry, is it not true?
It's true, Bishop.
Yes. Why are you looking as though it's not true? Yeah. You know, and all these things, all those things have not amounted to much. What has rather become more mighty is the church. Yes, because the church has to do with God. The rest of the things have to do with man's systems. You see, countries which are great today may not necessarily be great tomorrow. They can fight to be great, but when God says it's finished, it's finished. The Soviet Union, no one thought it would not be what it is. It was. And then Gorbachev came and started to dismantle it. And then now there's only Russia and all those countries, Latvia, Ukraine, Czechoslovakia, Poland, all they're all separate countries now. But at first it was all one big country. It's like no one thought the Soviet Union, so mighty, so powerful, it's not there today and the church is there, of the British Empire. The empire of the British, as far as Australia, as far as Alaska, as far as America, as far as South Africa, as far as the empire reached to the ends of the earth. India, Vanuatu, Fiji, that was the empire. Nigeria, Sri Lanka. Today, there's no empire. The empire has become a small island. Then we had the European Union is beginning to crack. And Britain is going and more will go. Watch it. We're going to go out. Yes. Whereas the church is growing bigger and stronger. And it's going to be like a mountain. A mountain. So I want to encourage all of you, young people, younger people, everyone, give yourself to what is going to be. Yes. Choose the right horse. You know, when I was younger, I used to go to the horse races on Saturdays. And we always wanted to choose the horse which was going to win. Then we bet on the horse. And we knew who was going to win and who was not going to win. We had to know, we had to get information from the jockeys. Because you see them running, but they've decided that this one should not win. This one should win. We had to get inside information from the jockeys. So we used to go onto the tracks and ask the jockeys, Charlie, what are you doing? He said, he's not going. It means he's not going to try to win. And this one is going, say, I'm going. And then you know who is winning. Because otherwise you go and put your money on the wrong horse. And he's going to be last. I remember one very good horse. He was last every day. He was last. Because every time you are last, they reduce the weight that the horse has to carry. So every time you don't win, they take off maybe 2 pounds. So each time 2 pounds, they keep on taking. And then they demote you to a lower division of horses that are like donkeys. You just keep on going down. So you run with donkeys and asses. Yes. So that horse, he was last every day. Meanwhile, he was a very, very good horse until he was demoted to the fourth division. Then he started to win. And he won every race for the whole season. The next season he's promoted. The next season he was faster than every horse. So it's like you need to know where to put your money so that you don't waste your money. Now, you have only one life. And you are going to put one life on something. You better make sure you are putting it on the right thing. If you put your life on accountancy, and you put your life on education, and you put your life on marriage, or you put your life on Australia, or put your life on something that's not really going to be what you thought it would be, you'll be sad at the end of your life. You know, one of our pastors, his father was dying at the hospital in Ghana, and in his last moments, he spoke to his son. He had three children. One was a lawyer, one was a doctor, one was a pastor. And it was a pastor who was with him when he was dying. And he told his son, "You chose the right thing." Yes. This is a very educated man. And he had a doctor, a lawyer, and a pastor. He told his son, "You chose the right thing," and he died after that. You backed the right horse. Yeah. You see, some of the horses look like they're going to win, but they are not going to win at all. You see them, but there's no winning at all. You need to have inside information. And when you have inside information, then you know which one is going to win. So now God is giving us information that in the last days, rather, the house of the Lord, mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top. It will be very established. And the church takes time. You see, Bishop Obi was speaking up there a few minutes ago. Yes. Some years ago, he was not even a member of the church when we were trying to start the church. He would not even join the church. He said, "Oh, when your church grows, I will join." Yes. It's amazing that with time, what God does and even establishes something you think will be nothing. I tell you, there are people in this Australia, you think, some of you have even discounted that, "Oh, this person is not, I mean, it's a mulligan. It's not really going to turn out." You watch and see. You watch and see. They're going to turn out to be something amazing. There are many, many people who are going to be bishops in this very camp. Yes. Yes. And in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house. So the church is going to be awesome. It's going to be majestic. You know, mountains are even given names. Yes. If I give you a picture, you know, I have a little picture at home in of some mountains, and each peak named. They name each one. This is this. This is this. This is this. This is. It's very majestic and awesome, and people climb these mountains for. I don't know why they climb mountains. Yeah. They climb. At least for exercise or I don't know what. Very dangerous. When you see the mountain, I tell you, it's scary. Yeah, scary to go up. Yeah. I've been up a number of high mountains. The mountains I haven't been to this Everest direction. But for Swiss side, yeah, I've been there. You'll be there too, in Jesus' name. You have to see to understand how the church is going to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it says, "And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." So that is why in the church, you must be very careful about being race conscious. Amen. Amen. Don't be conscious of country. Be conscious of Christ. If you are conscious of country and color, you're going to miss a lot. It's true. All nations. Many of the people that I've followed. One is from America, Hagen. some from Nigeria. Because Nigeria today has the biggest churches and most of the advanced ministries are in Nigeria. Britain, Derek Prince. Benny Hinn is a Palestinian. Youngi Cho is an Asian, Korean. If you are conscious very much of country, you miss what God is doing. And you know, because black people have been despised, because the African continent is not developed, it's like 200 years behind in most places. It is just a natural thing to despise something that a black person is doing. See, but that is now the difficulty for white people. Because not what you normally despise, you see, that's where the Holy Spirit is also moving. So you need to humble yourself more to see it. You see, it's amazing. Yeah. And I know people whose ministries have finished because they would not break out of consciousness of color and country. That's why in our church, we do not allow you to speak any language from anywhere you are from. Huh? What are they saying? Great House. What is Great House? Last year's camp. Ah, in a great house. Many vessels, yes. Yes. It's not a lot. So if you are in the church and somebody starts to speak aloud, say, hey, stop it there. You take out a red card and you show him red card. Red card that is qualified. I hope it's clear. Is it clear? Don't bring your village ways to the church. Keep your village in the house and come to church. The reason is, listen, the reason is that you will find every country is around. You don't know where the person is from. If you come, for instance, to our First Love Church in the UK, you'll be very surprised. You never know where the person is from. Different countries. Yes, different countries. Everybody's from a different country altogether. It's really amazing. Bishop Richard is a pastor there. Is it not true?
It's very true, Bishop. Yeah. Different countries. You can't tell.
You can't tell anymore. So if you are very stuck up with your nation or your country or your color or your scent, you are going to miss a large part of what God is doing. You know, one of the things about God is that he does things that force you to be humble. You see, like full-time ministry forces you to be humble. It's like you have to give up certain things. You have to even trust somebody. You have to even not trust in your own hand and your own strength. It forces you to be humble. Somebody like me, I came from a proud family of lawyers. Everybody was a lawyer. My grandfather was a very, very rich lawyer. My grandfather, before my father. No, not ordinary people. That's the family I come from. My father told me, he said, I cannot imagine my son being living off collection. Yes. He said, no, he cannot. Imagine it. Ministry forces you to be, come down, my son, and you live off collection. Yes. Rather than what you think you are going to do for yourself. So, racism has one of the greatest evil spirits because it judges you on external. As soon as I see your color, I judge you to be inferior or this quality. And it is the greatest manifestation of pride that I am better than you because of something I see externally. Well, that is a great mistake. So you have people, because of that barrier, their ministries wither and shrivel into smaller and smaller and smaller groups because they couldn't open up. You know, I remember one pastor, he was in a part of Europe, a certain country whose name begins with a certain alphabet. Right? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, in this country, he was a white man, but something started to change, and more black people started to come to the church. More and more and more black people, until the black people were plenty, the white people became few. And then it was only the front row that had white people. And I could see that the pastor was not happy with his church. Yes. And he made a comment to me once. And in the end, he lost the church. He lost the church. He became nothing. He became even some worker somewhere. And you realize that because it was not that, but it was that the reality that the people, the white people, were not going to church anymore. In Europe, white people do not go to church. And it's like, if you don't accept the reality, you will find out that your ministry is become nothing. Yeah. Because they were not going, and the people who were going to church were these people. Yeah. And it's almost like, well, that is not what I want. Those are not the people that I want to. Yeah. But you see, the days when the white people were going to church, John Wesley and William Booth and William Carey and all these great people. But now it's shrinking. It's shrinking. They call it the post-church era. After the church. It's like the church is past. In Europe and America, it's becoming like that. So if you are not humble, you don't have a humble eye to accept even a congregation that changes before your very eyes, or even the source of ministry. But some time ago, we used to look up to America, but I find it difficult to find any ministry in America that I look up to today. It's very difficult to find any ministry. Yes. My message will not be accepted in many places in America. And my message is what? Preach the word, preach the gospel, build the church, sacrifice, plant churches. It will not be accepted in most places. It's more of something else. Yes. It's amazing. So if you don't get out of that and accept that God uses all nations in these last days, there will be all nations shall flow into it. Verse 3, Isaiah 2, verse 3. And many people shall go. You see, these many people are going to come from different nations. Yes. And if we are humble, God will even give us husbands and wives from different nations. Yes. You know, different nations can marry. But the problem is that when people come from different places and they try to marry, and they have the normal problems that you have in a marriage, then they say, the reason why we're having this problem is because you come from that village somewhere. It's your country's problem that we are having in the house. Meanwhile, when they are married from the same place, they have the same problems. True or not true? So if you humble yourself, you'll find a husband. You'll find a wife from somewhere. Many people shall go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. How many are ready for this mountain of the Lord? This is a double mega missionary church. Yes, double mega. It's happening practically. And look at us here today from different islands. From Vanuatu, from Fiji, from Tonga, from where? Papua New Guinea, from New Zealand, from where? Solomon Islands, different islands, different places. Yes. I was in the Caribbean, you know, and I was preaching to the people in the islands there, and in Jamaica, and I told them in Barbados, I said, we are going to give God a present for saving us. And do you know the present I said we are going to give? How many would like to give God a present for saving us? Do you know the present I said we are going to give God? One island of people. One island. We are going to, because I think they had an island which had how many people? 60,000 people. Yeah. And I said, we want to give God a full island as a gift for saving us. You know, how can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Huh? Things so undeserved. Yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could never express my gratitude. All that I am and all that I have, I owe it all to thee. Hallelujah. How many believe we can give God an island? Which island are we going to give to the Lord? How many people is this Guam? 170,000. Micronesia, 107,000. Northern Mariana Islands, 55,000. Cook Islands, come, Cook Islands, 17,500. How many believe that we can get 17,500 people in the islands that to make at least one full island for Jesus? Can we do that? We give him to say, Lord, we want to give you a present for saving us, writing our names with your blood. I watched a documentary once of Saddam Hussein. He was writing the Quran in his blood. He took his blood transfusion and he was using a fountain pen to write it out in blood. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I was thinking that Jesus wrote our names with his blood. Yes. He took a fountain pen and wrote everybody's name with his blood until all his blood was finished. Because you got only £5 to be writing everybody's name. And how can we say thanks if we say, Lord, we want to give you one of these islands. Who is there? New Caledonia. Come, American Samoa. Hey, New Caledonia is a lot of people. 284,000. Come here, my dear. Tuvalu. 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 We must have an island full of souls to give to the Lord. Say, Lord, here is an island. We got 17,000, 12,000 people. Souls, real souls. You see, right now, our church is numbered in the thousands here, even in Australia. We are in thousands in terms of when we meet. You see, but we are going to give God a full island. How many would join me to give to the Lord a full island back of souls? Wow! Is it a good vision? Do you believe it will happen practically? Shall we do it practically? Do you think God will help us to do it practically? That's when God will even give you life. He will heal you of your diseases. He'll heal you of your soul's diseases. He'll give you life and strength. And the strange diseases that are spreading all over the world today, you'll be exempted and excused from those diseases. Because you've dedicated your life to honor God with wonderful souls. You see that song, "Oh My Shepherd, Loving Shepherd, where were you when I needed someone to talk to?" Do you love that song? I love that song. I tell, when I hear, I want to cry. I cry all the time when I hear it. Yes. Loving Shepherd, where were you? I needed somebody to talk to. There are people on the island waiting for somebody to talk to them. Someone who will talk to them. Someone who will love them. Someone who will just care for them. People need the Lord, I tell you. People need the Lord. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, look after my sheep. Feed them. Visit them. Talk to them. Care for them. Hallelujah. This is going to be our work. The mountain of the Lord. We're going to build the mountain of the Lord's house. We know it's going to happen. Whether you join or you don't join, God will do it. Yes. He said, I'll build my church. I'll build my church. Yes. Practically. You know, our church started in a classroom. You can ask Bishop Sack. It's a one-talent church. We had one talent and we started to use it. Today, we have almost 1,000 building projects. Yes. God supports his church. Yes. And you'll be part of it. Amen. I feel a fire in this part of the world. Yes. Yes. You have not been left out. In Jesus' name. Oh Lord. Amen. 25 prophecies. Hey. Number two, prophecy number two. There shall be a rise of churches with many people and strong nations. Strong nations. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21. And the inhabitants. So there are going to be churches with many people and strong nations. You know, there are some countries which feel we are strong. We don't accept people here. Hey, don't come here. Don't come here with your things. Stay out. Do you know any countries like that? Hey, when you are trying to come, they say, go away, go away, go back to where you came from. We know you. We know your type. We know where you are coming from. You are bringing bad things here. Don't come back. Don't call us. We call you. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Hallelujah. Many people and what? Strong nations. Hallelujah. Will come and say, hey, we want to come. We want to seek the Lord. Verse 23, thus says the Lord, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We will go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Hey! So strong nations are going to say all these things and are going to do all these things. Now somebody may say, But you, this has to do with Jews and Israelites. Look at Romans 2:28. It says in Romans 2:28, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29. "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly." So we are Jews inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. "Whose praise is not of men, but of God." So we are not. It's not about being a Jew outwardly, but he is a Jew inwardly. So back to Zechariah chapter 3, chapter 8, verse 23. It says, "And thus says the Lord, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of the languages of all the languages of the nations." So our church is going to have all the languages of the nations. "And they shall take hold of your shirt and say, we will go with you." We will go with you. We are going with you to your church. Why? Why? Because we have heard that God is with you. Hallelujah. All languages. All languages. All languages. All nations. And you may not know the languages, but there are many languages. We were in Burundi, they will speak Kirundi. We were in Rwanda, they speak Kenya, Rwanda. We were in Malawi, they speak Chichewa. We were in Tanzania, they speak Swahili. They don't speak English. All languages of all nations, and it's important to them. They don't speak your language. They don't read your language. They read that language. So there are other languages. And I'm amazed that my books have been translated in all these languages. We have the Makarios in these languages. The whole Makarios. Yes. Can you imagine what it costs? But you see, this is the last day church. This is a double mega missionary church. Zechariah 8:21 is the church where strong nations and many people. How many are going to be part of the strong nations and many people church? Yes, what a blessing you have. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, number three, the third prophecy for a double mega missionary church. And all you need is one talent to be involved in this double mega missionary church. There are going to be a rise of little ones. Little ones. Isaiah 60 verse 22. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation." So, little ones, are you here? Yeah. How many people do we have who have only one talent? Only one talent. Little ones. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm grown-ups, I don't want you to be upset when you see the little ones becoming a thousand. Wow. You know, our church in Birmingham, the First Love Church with the children, they had over 1,000 people on a Sunday. But the grown-ups, they had just a few people. A little one shall become a thousand. How many little ones are going to become a thousand? Yes, little ones. Are there little ones here? Wow, I see some little ones around. Little ones will become a thousand. You become a thousand. A thousand. A thousand. Do you hear the number thousand? I don't want you to be happy with 20 members again. Don't have to be happy with 40 members again. Don't have to be happy with 70 members again. All these 60-member churches, 20-member, 13 members, and so on, we are not interested in that now. We are interested in 1,000. we shall not be few. Amen.
Amen.
So rise up today and let us build a church with thousands of people. People that you can count. 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 1,000. Real ones. Not imaginary 1,000. Are you there or you are leaving?
Yes.
Amen. Number 4. There shall be a rise of churches that shall not be few and churches that shall not be small. Churches that shall not be few and churches that will not be small. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that makes merry. And I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. So there are going to be churches that will not be few. And I will glorify them and they shall not be small. So there's going to be a rise of churches that are not few. So even though in UD we have a few thousand churches, we have more churches. All of you will become churches. Yes, you become churches. Yes, you become churches. Pastor, where's Yao in New Zealand? These were all members. He was a member in Milton Keynes. He was a member in Milton Keynes. He was a member in where? London. And you remember where? Kodesh. You know, they were just sitting there. But they are becoming thousands of people. So when I say to you, you will become 1,000.
Amen.
We must hear the loudest amen from you.
Amen.
Because the prophecy you believe is the prophecy that is going to come to pass in your life. And it's not that you have the weight to shake the city, to shake the bridge, or to shake the island. But there is something far greater than you that has the ability to shake it. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. Amen.
Amen.
They shall not be. I will also glorify them. They shall not be small. Yeah. So every small thing about you is going and it's becoming big. Prophecy number 5. There shall be a rise of feeding pastors. Feeding pastors. Now, Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. I will give you pastors in this last days. I will give you pastors according to my heart. Who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Are you watching?
Yes.
Knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days that they shall say no more. So God is going to give you pastors, according to my heart, who are going to feed you. So feeding people with knowledge and understanding is there's going to come a rise of pastors and shepherds who know how to feed with knowledge and understanding. And then the result of this is verse 16 is that you shall be multiplied and increased in the land. You see, miracles does not increase the church. And signs and wonders do not make the church grow big. Are you with me? Yes. Let's say sweets and toffees don't make somebody grow normally. It's something, knowledge and understanding. And in our church, we have a lot of knowledge and understanding about many things, in many books, and many things that we have here that you can't even finish teaching. Is it not true? If you have one book and they say, teach this book, you see that it can go for the whole year. Unless you stop teaching the book in the middle and start something else, it doesn't finish. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Now, the more we feed people with knowledge and understanding, the Bible is saying it shall come to pass, you'll be multiplied and increased. Amen. So you must be a studious person, someone who is listening to messages all the time and trying to receive knowledge and understanding. And it makes you multiply and increase. Yes. And then the feeding and the teaching, there's going to be a rise of pastors who feed and who teach and who feed from their heart. I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yes. People always follow someone who has knowledge and understanding. You know, some of us pastors, you know, sometimes you have pastors who are quarreling among themselves as to who should preach. Since I started the church, I've never had such a discussion with Bishop Saki or Bishop Eddie or even who should preach or who should do this or who should this. Nothing like that, ever. By God's grace, it's not that we are super or better than anybody, but it just hasn't happened by the grace of God. So when we have our own pastors who are having such struggles amongst the who should be in the church, who should preach or whatever, amongst us rather, it's more like, I don't want to preach. You preach. No, you rather preach. So when you have people struggling, it shows there's something missing. Something missing. Because if you feed with knowledge and understanding, you see that there is understanding, and everybody wants the person who has the knowledge and understanding to feed. And to preach. Yes. It's not a struggle at all. There's so much opportunity in the house of God. The house of God is like the sky. Two beds don't have to collide. There's so much space in the air. So why you have people struggling? Also, who should do the feeding? The one who should do the feeding is the one who has the knowledge and understanding that God has given him. There's no struggle about it. And in our church, it is one church, one flock, one shepherd. So the teaching that I am teaching must be taught. The books that I have and the messages that I have given must be taught across the world. And you can see that because of technology, we have bypassed disobedient pastors. You see, technology has made podcasts and the preaching somewhere available to ordinary people. And even the songs. So you can see that so many people know the songs, they know the teachings without even either their parents or even rebellious pastors blocking the messages and coming up with your own message when you actually don't even have such a call and you don't even have such knowledge and understanding to be feeding anybody. And allow the shepherd who has the knowledge and understanding access to his flock so that he can teach his flock. Yes. And you realize that even though I didn't come here for 8 years, because of technology, it bypassed all the barriers. And you can see that you were able to receive the knowledge and understanding from the shepherd that God has given you. So the rise of double mega missionary churches comes from the rise of feeding pastors who have a certain grace to have knowledge and understanding to feed the people. And when you feed the people, they'll be multiplied and increased. And one of the things you should notice with our type of preaching is that the children seem to understand the preaching. Yes, rarely do you have children understanding preaching. We don't understand what is being said in the church. True or not true?
True.
Yes. And it should make you fear. That you see that if the children can understand what is being preached. Our children listen to podcasts all night. People sleep with podcasts all night. They listen to camps all night. It should tell you something. Yes. That is supernatural. Yes. So, allow the one who has the knowledge and understanding to have access to his people. And no, there should be no struggle among pastors. That who should preach here? We should rather be saying, no, you preach. And you say, no, you preach. Hey, I beg you, please. And when the person is preaching, you don't make your face stiff and look on the ground or look up or look to the side or hold your phone and start sending texts or look at your watch. Sometimes even the children are looking at the pastor and the church and they are even wondering, this man at all, what is he saying? He's not using the book. He's not doing the right thing. It's true. Some of the children, they look and say, but my father doesn't have a mega church. I'm not seeing the mega church. Sometimes people are sitting there and saying, why don't you find a message and listen to the thing properly and preach properly? Because you see that the reality is that the call of God, all the lay pastors and all the pastors are actually helping a particular apostle to do his work. Yes. Yes. And we should be humble to accept these realities. There's one shepherd, really. It's not as though there are plenty shepherds. And when we have accepted that, that's what has made the church grow. That's why we have a couple of thousands of people in Australia. We had a camp, Australia 1,000, to have 1,000 members. Yes, it has happened. Yes. So now we are moving to 1,000 churches. We need 1,000 churches. Yes. We shall not be few. 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 We shall do this work. And we shall not be few. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yes. Let's give ourselves to this glorious work. Let's give ourselves. I'll tell you something. You know, when we started, you know, people had all these visions. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to be this. Years have gone by. There's no millionaire in sight. So people are realizing that it would have been better. Let's give ourselves to this glorious mission unreservedly. Come on! We need to give ourselves to this glorious mission unreservedly.
Let's give ourselves to this glorious mission unreservedly. Let us never think that our time, our strength, our families are our own. Let us dedicate them all to God and to His work. Let us give ourselves wholly that our profiting may appear ready at 20.
Yes. So let's give ourselves unreservedly to this work. People have given themselves unreservedly to becoming accountants. Pastor Jerry is an example. He gave himself to become an accountant. And many of our other pastors. Where is he? Uh-huh, yes. Gave himself unreservedly to become an accountant. All these things have not resulted in people becoming millionaires. Yes. One brother, he did a master's, then he did a PhD, then he did chartered accounting, and then he had his degree. So when he applied for a job, one of our pastors, and they told him, "You are overqualified. You're overqualified. We don't know how to handle you." He was so surprised that his plenty education was going on a negative feedback. The prosperity turned into an oblique direction. Number six, there shall be a rise of teaching priests. Feeding pastors and teaching priests. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. They had no teaching priest. But when they did in their trouble turn to the Lord and sought him, he was found in them. Now in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city. And God did vex them with all adversity. Amen. A teaching priest is somebody who waits on God. Now in the last days, in the days of the double mega missionary church, there will be a rise of teaching priests. A teaching priest is someone who is a priest who teaches, which is a priest is someone who waits on God. He waits on God and then he teaches. He doesn't just come with, you listen to a message and you are coming to preach it. It's somebody who waits on God. The priests are people that wait on the Lord. Lay people often cannot wait much on the Lord because they are from work. Straight to the evening service, trusting God and singing some song in the car as they are going to stir up the spirit. True or not true? Yes. Trying to review one or two points. And my books are very easy to preach from because the point is there and the scripture is there. And the explanation is there. So you may not wait on God and you still seem to be flowing. Yes. But you see, there's going to be a rise of teaching priests. And the Bible says, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest. A teaching priest is somebody who waits on God. Because priesthood is to wait on God. A priest is to wait on God. Yes. And there's a difference between just teaching and someone who waits on God and teaches. So there's going to be a rise of teaching priests. How many want teaching priests? How many want to wait on God from morning to evening? You know, do you know when I started waiting on God? I was in secondary school, what you call high school. The first time I prayed from 10 to 5. I know 35 is 7 hours because it's always been 7 hours. 10 to 5. 10 to 12 is 2. 12 to 5 is 5. So I start at 10 a.m. in the morning. I end at 5 p.m. I started in secondary school or high school. While I was in secondary school, I started waiting on God 10 to 5. It's my commonest time for waiting on God, 10 to 5, 10 to 5, 10 to 5, always 7 hours. I stop at 5. Start at 10, 5. I had a room that was as small as this. The bed fits here, and there's a little space, and then there's a door. And I used to put we had a, what we call a trunk, where we have our clothes. So I had a trunk, and I used to put it so that there would be a space diagonally. And I would lie on the floor diagonally because I didn't want to lie on the bed. I lie between the bed and arrange the things and lie this way from 10 to 5. From 10 to 5. There shall be a rise of teaching priests. Priests, people who wait on God. I've been a priest even when I was in school. Yes. And I'm talking about when I was 17, 18 years old. Yes. 18 years old. Yeah. Waiting on the Lord. And then coming out to teach. Wait on the Lord and come out to teach. Wait on the Lord and come out to teach. He's a teaching priest. He said for a long season, Israel had been without a teaching priest. And that's why there was vexation. There was no hope in the town. Things were not working. So, just coming out with a few points, you know, there's going to be a rise of full-time priests, people who wait on God, people who lie down in the presence of God, who can stay. And you are not asleep. You are awake. Kabbalah, Shabbalah, Baba. You are not asleep. You have not fallen asleep. You know, when you sleep always, it's like, you see, food, sleep, sex. If you can't control, you can't control your flesh. And the flesh must be subject to the spirit. So when you can't control these, you are not controlling. So when you see somebody who just can't stay awake, can't stay awake. Even at a camp meeting, you say, you can't say, realize, oh, you have to eat. You have to sleep. You have all these things always. You need them. And the flesh is gone out of control. Yes. You can't wake up. That's why at this camp I said, come early. Because you see, it's a sign of a weak church. When you see, you can't tell them, come at 6, come at 4, come at 5. We have had to tell people to come at 4 a.m. 5 a.m. when you come for the meeting. 5 a.m. So how come, what type of softies are these? You can't be called to come at 6. You can't be called to come at 5. It's like, oh, we can't wake up. Oh, man, we can't wake up. You are from Africa. You can't stop that Africa thing. Stop that. Stop that. That's racism. That's racism. And you see, you are thinking of something that you shouldn't be thinking in that way. Ask, you're oblique. Your mind is oblique. Thank you, my dear. Your mind is gone oblique. Yes. You have gone completely oblique in your thinking. How can't you wake up at 6? Why not? Soldiers, they are made to march. They carry 50 kilos at their back. And they walk for 5 days without sleeping. No sleep. A soldier told me in the British Army what they had to do. You carry the weights. They walk in the snow. And they walk in the snow and for 5 days. No sleep. No bathing. No bath for 60 days. 3 months. One soldier was telling me, 3 months, no bathing. Wow. After 3 months before you bath for the first time. You wear the clothes all the time. Yes. And the Bible says that we should endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. And you can't even just wake up and say, so for one of the days you sleep for 4 hours, or one of the days you sleep for 5 hours. That's too much of a sacrifice to make. You can't do much for God. You can never be a teaching priest. That's why there's powerlessness and things don't work. Hmm. Are you listening?
Yes.
Number 7. There shall be a rise of lovers of God. Yes. John 21, verse 15. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me thou me more than these? And he said unto him, the room is getting warm. So what is the source of cause of that? Is it a heater? Or you want to open the doors? Open the doors. You see, people, you can't stand heat. You can't stand cold. You can't stand sleep, you can, everything, you have a problem with it. Hey! It's Australians. Don't be racist. All right. Some small fresh air. Good. Are you still around?
Yes.
Listen very carefully. I'm giving you 25 prophecies of a what? Double mega missionary church. Number one is what? There'll be a rise of what? Mountain-like churches. Number two, there'll be what? Many people. There'll be a rise of churches with many people and strong nations. Nations which say you can't come here. You know, there are countries which say you can't come here. Don't come here. Australia is one of the countries like that. Don't come here. What do you want to do here? We don't need you. There are many strong nations which you can't enter. You can't stay there. One of those countries is Zimbabwe. Yes. Zimbabwe is like that. They don't want you to come there. We have not been. It's one of the countries we've not been able to send somebody to stay there. We will not allow anybody to stay there. Yeah. When we went for a crusade, they followed us. They gave us spies. Spies followed us throughout the country for 1 month. Yes. So there will be churches in strong nations. Amen. Number three. The rise of what? Little ones. Are the little ones ready to rise? Number four. The rise of churches that will not be few and churches that will not be small. Number five. The rise of feeding pastors. I'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. People who have knowledge and understanding. Amen. People who know things. Number six. The rise of teaching priests. Number seven. The rise of lovers of God. Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these people? Now, can you have sex with God?
No.
Can you give God chocolate?
No.
Can you take God for dinner?
No.
Can you send God a card?
No.
Can you write God a love letter?
No.
How else can you show your love? Can you marry God?
No.
Can you propose to God? What can you do for God? If you love me, feed my sheep. So there's going to be a rise of genuine lovers, not talkers. Not writers of notes. We have a lot of notes. Aye. Writing of plenty notes. But there's going to be a rise of lovers of God. And people who love God, all right, are going to do God's work. And you even be wondering, what are you getting from what you are doing? Why are you not tired? Are you okay? Are you happy? You know, one day, I visited an uncle in Europe, and he felt I was not happy because I was not going to the nightclub. Yes. So he told his children, take him to the nightclub. Hey! Then he said, take him to the pub. Do you have pubs here? Take him to the pub. To have a drink. He's not a happy person. He needs to be happy to liven him up. Hey! But I was happy in the Lord. I don't need beer to make me happy. I don't need to go to the pub to make me happy. Now, it became so serious that he arranged a day, and the day came, and he said, you have to go to the pub. So I was forced to go to the pub. Yes, I was anakazo to the pub. So when I got there, I sat in front of the bar, and here was a man wanting to ask what beer I want. I said, do you have Coca-Cola here, please? So I drank the Coke, and that was it. I don't need no beer to make me happy. I love God so much. I am enjoying God. I am enjoying God and loving God. You see, they are not used to seeing people who love God. They are used to having people who love fooling around. Yes.
Fooling.
Clubbing.
Drinking.
Smoking. Fornicating. That's all they know.
Yeah.
And how far does that take you? Yeah. But there's going to come a race of God lovers and people that love God, love the church, love his work, love him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you'll be amazed. I'm going to see people and you'll be wondering, what makes you happy? What makes you keep going? What is the motivation? What are you getting from all this? It's going to be like Peter, where Jesus said, do you love me? He said, how deep is your love? He said, Jesus, my love is very deep. I love you. You know I love you. I'll feed your sheep. I'll talk to them. I'll talk to them, always talking, always meeting, always talking to the people, always preaching, always talking to people. Visiting, talking, sharing, meeting, yes, counseling, visiting, talking, interacting. Come on now. Lovers of God, hallelujah! There's coming a rise of God lovers. Yes. People will ask you, would you like to have a cigarette? You say, please. You even laugh. You laugh. You say, man. You say, I'm already high on the Lord Jesus. I'm high on Jesus. I don't need no cigarette. I don't need some weed. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. I'm high on a podcast. You know, I remember one sister, she was coming to sing in a concert, and they introduced her. She said, she used to sing, I'm going to take you higher. I'm going to take you high. But she's high on the Lord today. Are you high on the Lord Jesus today? Hey! I'm going to take you higher. I'm going to take you higher. Hey! But I'm high on the podcast. I'm high on the Bible. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in tongues and I'm getting higher. You know, sometimes people listen to the message and they hear people shouting in the message. They say, what is wrong with these people? There's nothing. We are high in the Lord, I tell you. We are high. Number 8. There shall be a rise of shepherds. Loving shepherds. We heard Ida's song, Loving Shepherds. Matthew chapter 9. It says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Ezekiel 34 verse 22 says, therefore I will save my flock and they shall be no more a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Amen.
Amen.
Shepherds. Yeah. A shepherd is someone whose feet are dirty with the same dirt that the sheep are walking in. It's not an executive prime minister sitting somewhere on an armchair. Are you listening to me? It's an ordinary person. And I want to encourage you to go out there and care for people. Amen. You know, God has angels. He can use angels. When he wanted to send a message, send Gabriel and all that. But he uses you. He uses me. You know, the picture I have of a shepherd is a man in boots walking through a muddy field with like bits of grass. You know, there's a type of grass which has, the ground is muddy. He's walking. He's looking for a sheep that is stuck over there. And he picks the sheep, holds it. Now he comes to the ground. Now he's on dry ground. And people look at him and say, you are a sinner. You are dirty. You're smelly. That's rather the sign of a shepherd. Yeah. Many shepherds are muddy with the mud that is holding the sheep. Yes. Some shepherds even go out there when they get there, they can't come back. There are shepherds that are stuck trying to help people. They get stuck. You know, some French Marines went to save some people caught, I don't know which country. Two of them died. When you are saving people, you can die saving people. You can be lost saving people. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, his brother was killed in Entebbe. When they went to save the Israelis who had been caught by Idi Amin in the play, only one Israeli was killed, and it was Netanyahu's brother, who was shot at the airport. They carried his body back. And sometimes when you are going to save people, you can end up in difficulty. And sometimes people are in difficulty only because they try to save. If this man had been in his house, he wouldn't have died. He died because he was trying to save people. So sometimes you find out people even have marital problems because they are in the ministry. They wouldn't have had any problem at all. Their marriage would have been like normal. But it becomes abnormal because of the ministry. Sometimes a spirit of Jezebel enters a wife just because her husband is a great man of God. Because Jezebel is the spirit that attacks Elijah. If you are not going to be great in ministry, Jezebel will not come. It only goes for big ones. Yes. Elijah is the great man of God who was attacked by Jezebel. Jezebel made him run away from his ministry. He stopped his ministry in the middle. He was in the middle of his life and history when he suddenly left. He was running from Jezebel. She said, if by tomorrow evening I finish you, when he heard it, he ran. Hey! And you wonder that somebody who can kill 400 false prophets, sort out the whole city, do signs and wonders, was running from a woman after. It shows how powerful women's are. It shows how powerful women's are. Yes.
Yes.
The Bible says the tongue is a little fire, a little poison. But what a great evil it can do just with the tongue. One word to an Elijah from Jezebel. You will see, he says, let the gods do to me if tomorrow by this time I've not finished with you. And he was done. He ran for his life. Because the tongue is a great power. Yes. So when you are here and God bless you to marry a pastor, you must just protect yourself if you are a woman from the spirit of Jezebel. It's the main spirit you must protect yourself. So, oh Lord, let me never be a Jezebel. 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 And you must ask whether you are a Jezebel or not. Because you always say, I'm here, I'm not, I'm not. But you may be. Oh Lord, you know I have only one talent. My small one talent, and then Jezebel is also taking, trying to take. Hey! One talent, and Jezebel has come to also take away the one talent. Oh Lord. So, make sure you do what you have to do so that you can serve the Lord very well. Amen. Amen. All right. So, shepherds many times get stuck. And that's why sometimes a shepherd, you know, there is also a law. Thou shalt not strive officiously to save another at a point. Sometimes you have to leave them to die. Yes. Yes, there's a place where you have to tell it, you must die because I can't come there. Lest I also die. And the Bible says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Mercy. Are you around still? Or you are leaving? How many prophecies do you have so far? Eight. Number nine. There shall be a rise of prophets who build double mega missionary churches. Amen. There are going to be church building prophets. In Ezra chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, then the prophets, Haggai, the prophets, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name. Can the baby be taken out, please? Prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel. Amen. The son of Shealtiel and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. So the prophets, all right, were helping to build the house of God. So it's very important that you listen to the prophets who are trying to build the house of God. Amen. Amen. And that is why in the First Love Church, I introduced myself also as a prophet. Because many of the older people have not received me as a prophet. And what has happened is that many of the things I've said, if you care to listen, come to pass practically. Both the good and the bad. And it is in your interest to humble yourself and receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, not in the name of a shepherd. So that God can bless you. Because the Bible says, by a prophet, Israel was brought out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. So you, the more you receive the ministry of a prophet, the more you benefit. And God will bless you and help to build his work through you if you also listen to the words as types of prophecies, not just teachings, good teachings, but to be careful with them. And you have to be careful with casual prophets. Because many times the prophecy is coming, you think it's a casual prophet. You said we had a camp here, it was called what, 1,000?
Australia
1,000. 1,000 members.
Yes.
But we have crossed that, haven't we?
Yes.
We are having 2,000 plus, yes. So you see, but at the time, it sounded fantastic. Paul, you were there, remember? Australia 1,000. We're less than 100 people. Yes. And practically, we have over 2,000 people practically here in this region, attendance, not members, attendance. But it was a church of a few people. So I didn't come here for 8 years, but by the time I came, it was true. It has happened. So now I am prophesying 1,000 churches.
Amen.
Churches.
Amen.
Yes. And it will happen practically.
Amen.
Yes. Because you see, those of you on this side of the world, you have to know that you are far away from the rest of the world. This is the ends of the world. So you have to just be happy with yourselves over here. And you have to have a vision right here to do well here. Do well over here. This is where you are. This is where God has put you. So fight for this place to work. Fight for there to be churches. Fight for the work of God to go on. It's in your own interest. Yes. So believe the prophecy and join in the prophetic move to build the church. That is what will work. It's not your business that will work. It's not your school that will work. It's not your marriage. It's not your life. It's the church. It's God's work. And all other things will be added unto it. I have never tried to be rich all my life. In fact, many decisions I have taken are decisions that would actually make a person poor. I've never taken decisions to make myself rich. In fact, I'm quite wary of such decisions. Do this, it brings money. Do this, you get money. Do this, you get... When I hear such things, I say, no, I don't want that. If I was looking for money, I wouldn't go and pastor children. The grown-ups in the church are just a small section here, like 20, 25 people. That's it. The rest are children. The meaty importers and exporters of iron rods and curtain materials and bed sheets, they are all in other churches. And it's amazing. My little children whom I'm pastoring, you know, one of the things that I even see the financial power of these children is, you know, at Easter time, we take a special offering for prisoners. Because we feed prisoners, we buy KFC and rice and cold Coca-Cola for all the prisoners in Accra at Easter. And then we actually started to do it every month. But at Easter, the other churches do it. And I was checking. The children gave more for the prisoners' KFC than the adults, than the Kodesh, and where the importance of curtain materials and carpets. And the second-hand car dealers. So there's no need to have an aim. Money is not a good vision to have. Bible says labor not to be rich. Labor to be blessed. Rather than laboring to be rich. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So, rise up, amen, and believe in the prophecies. take the messages as predictions. You know, one of my lady pastors or sisters, you know, she sat down. I was watching her one day. She was explaining to some people. Said, she told, when he's talking to you, when he asks you a question, what do you think about it? He said, don't take it that he's asking a question. That question that he's asking, what do you think? That is the prophecy. He's telling you what to do. And she told him, he will never tell you do this. That question, when he told him, when he's talking and he says, what do you think about this? That thing he's saying, what you think about, is the thing that he's telling you. That's how he says it. She was explaining to the people that that's how he talks. That's how he prophesies. Don't misunderstand the question. She told, don't misunderstand the question he's asking you. How is this and what is this? And what? That is the prophecy. She explained it and she explained it to them. So listen, when he comes, this is what he will say. So what do you think about it? That is it. There's nothing else. As soon as he says, what do you think about it? You should know that he has told you what to do. People who have watched me preaching, if you watch some of the videos, you'll see that I'll take somebody as an example. Those who know that thing, they don't like that example thing. So, well, please don't use me as an example of this thing. I beg you. Yes, one time I was doing an example, and I was using Bishop. He said, please, I beg you to don't. I mean, he virtually rebuked me. I said, I don't use me as an example of this, whatever it is. Something to something. Because from experience, you watch and you see that this thing, that example that has been given, it's a prophecy. Before you realize it is happening. Yes. I was preaching once. I told a pastor, I said, look, what about if you have even just 8 years to live on? He died exactly 8 years after that. So you must know how a person prophesied. When they came to Elisha, Naaman came to Elisha to ask him for healing. He told him, go and have a bath. You know, it was like he's giving advice on bathing and hygiene. That was the prophecy. And he reacted to himself. I thought he would come out, he would raise his hand, he would strike the place, he would do something. That is not how he prophesies. He prophesies by giving advice on personal hygiene. Yes. If you are too big to listen and to understand, you miss out on the prophecies. And this Australia is a good example of that. The church was so small that I gave, I said, 1,000. And here it is practically. Yes. We have. This is a camp meeting. This is a camp meeting on Wednesday, on Thursday, and so on, in the middle of the week, in Melbourne. I should tell you something. It's not a camp meeting on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a camp in the middle of the week, the working week. School week. Exam time. You guys are having exams. And assessments. Hey. So, take note of that. Many of the questions and advices, that is the prophecy. And in the last days, God will raise up prophets. And the Bible says they began to build the house of God with the prophets of God helping them. Now, I cannot stay here in Australia to build the house of God. I am here to help. You will build the church, and I am here to help. I'm just a helper. I'm helping. Yes. There are going to be great apostles here. Hallelujah. Number 10, there shall be a rise of children. Rise of children who are going to build the house of God. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. But the Lord said to me, the rise of children. But the Lord said to me, say not I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build. Did you hear build?
Yes.
To build churches, yes. And to plant churches. And he said, say not that I am a child. In other words, don't complain that I am a child. Because in the last days, there's going to be a rise of children. And Jeremiah was one of the children. And God said, I'm going to use you to build. I'm going to use you to plant. I'm going to use you to build. Don't say I'm a child. Don't say I'm a small boy. Don't say I'm nobody. Don't say I have only one talent. All you need is only one talent. So those of you who are children, don't say, no, I'm a child. That's what the word of God says. Rise up and speak. Rise up and do the work. You know, when my son, I gave birth to him. I was there when he was born. I was there to cut the cord, to do everything. I was wearing gloves. He was born. But today, it took me time to get used to it, to talk to him. I talked to him as a friend, as a colleague, as somebody who's working with me in the church. We have to get used to the fact that the child and the children, God has raised up children, more children, with understanding to work for God. Yes. And you people in Australia have to accept children. Accept them, please. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. And some of the children are going to be open rebukes to some of you. Because they'll pray far more than you. And listen to messages far more than you. Know things far more than you. Who claim to be the pastors of the churches. And they obey more than you. You know. Don't struggle. I said don't struggle. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Accept the children. Amen. He says, say not I am a child. Don't talk that way. So he says, when were you born? Where did you come? What did you do? The Bible says, say not. Don't say I'm a child. And the children, sometimes you are surprised. You see that they are even more wise in humility. Because one of the things I've noticed about the children is that they are more humble than you would have thought. Yeah, you would think that, oh, because God is using them, they'll be proud. But it's like because of the honor your father part, you see, they are also humble in that regard. Yes. And you have to accept it. You have to accept it. They know things. And you see that if somebody can start doing bad things from the age of 12, 11, you have seen 10 of, yes, you've seen pornography. How many of you have seen pornography before? If you can see pornography, then you are not too young to preach. Because you have seen a higher level of things that you should not have seen. Sit down. Number 11. There shall be a rise of prophets and teachers. A combination of prophets and teachers. So a prophet combo ministry. There's going to be a combo ministry. Combo ministry of prophet teacher. In Acts chapter 13, The Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Wow. And the Lord, as they fasted and ministered, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away to plant churches. They went planting churches, prophets and teachers. So this is a combo ministry of prophet-teacher combination. Wow. I see combo ministries coming out. Some of you are going to be combination prophet stroke teacher. Kenneth Hagin was a combo minister. Yes. He was a prophet stroke teacher. Yes. Some of the messages were more prophetic and some more teaching. When I look at Kenneth Hagin's ministry, like I have all his tapes since he started preaching, all that exists, I have all. When I go through the list, even with just with dates, and I can see the ones that are teaching only, and I can see the ones that are prophetic, and sometimes like the combination. Yes. I was listening to a prophetic combo message in 1988. Yes. In 1988, in a town called Suhum. And whilst I was listening, I just liked listening. You know, how old was I? It must have been 25 years old. And I was listening to this man. I just like listening to him since I was 17 years old. I've been listening to him for 10 years. I just like listening. Just like how some of the children listen to the podcast in the night, listen to the messages. That's how it was. I just put it on. To sleep, to eat, to drink, to do everything, it was on. And I just like listening to some parts. Some parts were nicer to me. And I had this one message. I was listening to it over and over and over. And in the night, in the middle of the night, in 1988, in June, I was a few months from becoming a doctor, my final year. Whilst I was kneeling by the bed, you know, I fell asleep on my knees. So now I can't kneel for too long on my knee, you know. But I fell asleep on my knee, and I woke up at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and he was still preaching. It was red, like that red thing there. Pick it up from the floor. That color. That was a tape recorder. It was down there, and I was kneeling and praying. And he was preaching. Dark. It was dark in the night. And it was quiet all around. Very dark and quiet. And I was alone in the room. No air conditioner, no nothing, just windows. Outside were banana trees and plantain trees. Yes. I was down deep inside the middle of Ghana. And there in the middle of the night, when I was on my knees, and he was talking, telling a story, talking, suddenly something jumped out of tape and entered my belly. I felt something like that entered into me. And then I heard a voice, and the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. Yeah. Wow. I was taken aback because I wasn't expecting anything like that. It's something I was doing all the time. I like listening to. I like praying. I like praying. I like waiting on God. Maybe God will speak. Maybe God will do something. He said, from today you can teach. Today I'm standing here, 25 years later, 30 years, almost 30 million books later of teaching, publishing. Even the songs, you can see that when the song is going, it's teaching you something. It says, I love you, I like you, but I can't love you more than I love God. It's telling you something, isn't it true? Yes. Every song is teaching you something. You know it. Every song is a strong message. You can see that it's talking to you. Yeah. And then I heard another voice, but it was different from that voice. The first voice was like a loud voice in the spirit, in the atmosphere. The second voice was as if it was like a thought. He said, I'll prove it to you. It was different. And then immediately after, I was invited to Full Gospel to preach in the same town. And I started preaching. When I got back, you know, the anointing is something that it takes sensitive people to notice things. But there was a nurse. She was one of the first people to ever notice that I was anointed. She sent a message to her friend. She wrote a letter to her friend who was working at a mental hospital in Cape Coast. And she said, there is something different about Brother Dag, I tell you. There's something. She didn't know what had happened to me, and she didn't know what it was. But from that time, I started to teach, teaching, teaching. When I got back from that hospital, I started to teach from Luke 15, the prodigal son. Same old teaching. It's one of my favorite places to teach from, prodigal son. Hey. And I started to teach in the church. And the little classroom church grew. It has been growing since then. That we are standing here with thousands of people in Australia and Asia. I wish you the anointing too. I wish you the anointing. I wish you the anointing. Yes, I wish you the anointing. Yes. I have a new book called Flow in the Anointing. Yeah. And a new book about the presence of God. Flow in the anointing. Walk in the anointing. I tell you, there's power in the word of God. We are carrying power. One time God showed me, he said, I want you to see what is in you. I said, what is in me? And then he showed me in a vision. And in the vision, my stomach opened like a door of a fridge. Very thick, actually. The door was thick. Open. And inside my stomach, not even one intestine. Not even one intestine. There were three huge cables from up down. One, two, three. Sizzling with fire, with like electric power. And then the angel closed the door again. And he said, yeah, this is the power that is in you. I wanted you to see the kind of power that is in you. Hallelujah! Yes. So then, that little message that I believed from today you can teach is working. And I want you to, I wish you the anointing. If I wish you anything, I wish you the anointing and the grace of God. Yeah. It changes everything. It changes everything. If you love God, if you love God, his word, there's no force so great as the word. It says the word of God was used to create the world. So the word of God, when it's coming into you, it changes you. Look at these children. Each and every one of them would either have been homosexual, drug addict, smoking weed, eating wheat cake, taking drugs, pregnant, everything. Look at them. There's some kind of unusual power that has arrested them. As soaked in the word, something powerful is arresting them and changing them. That's a blessing. What a blessing. So there's going to be a rise of a combo ministry. Prophet teacher, receive that gift now. Receive the gift to be a prophet and a teacher. In Jesus' name. Amen. Number 12. There shall be a rise of prosperity that will build the cities of God. A level of prosperity is going to come. 12, the rise of prosperity. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. Now, notice. Cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Amen. What is he saying? He says, my cities, my what? My cities shall be spread abroad. What is a city? A city is a series of buildings. Now he's saying, my cities, which is a series of buildings, church buildings, are going to be spread all about through prosperity. Yes. Through prosperity. As we speak, we are building in Papua New Guinea, in Fiji, in Vanuatu, and so on. And the cities of God are going to be spreading. So when you put together all 1,000 buildings, that's a city, shall be spread abroad. Shall be spread abroad. Shall be spread abroad. Through prosperity. Recently, I gave some people, I told them, I said, if you give me this amount of dollars, I can build a church building. I said, if you give me $10,000, I'll build a whole church from beginning to end. So many people have given me money to build. I built 10 pictures. I make a plaque financed by this person. Yeah, plenty they are giving me. I built in Salaga in the north, Tamale, different places. I just built. When they send the money, I just built from beginning to the end. Roof painted with the name of the church on it. Dedicated, financed by this person. I never thought that so many people could build churches on their own. And now I'm going into cathedrals. I'm having people to build cathedrals. So through prosperity, we never had people who could give even $10,000. But now many people are giving. Yeah. So I want to build a church in my town, or I want to build a church here. And if, of course, we have to have a church there, then we build a church there. We're not just putting buildings. Yeah. So through prosperity, all over these islands, you soon see cities. You'll be surprised. You say, hey, Kiribati and where? And Dua, what? Tuvalu and Guam and Marshall Islands, Cook Islands. Oh, you know, in Vanuatu and such places, there's not much light, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, but you see that those places, we will be there. Yeah. And we will build through prosperity.
Yeah.
Yes, so there's going to be a rise of prosperity.
Yeah.
Amen. And givers, people are going to give more. Yes, yes, more. I love it. There will soon be a church building in Samoa. Yes. Keep watching. It's like a film. You don't even have to do anything. Just keep watching. That's why I said that in the last days, what God's word always comes to pass. Whether you join or you don't join. Whether you help or you don't help. Yes. When we came to Australia, there are some people who orangulize the church. But whether they finish, they leave or not, the church is marching. You know, I always love this story. You know Reinhard Bonnke? Have you heard of Bonnke? Yeah. When he started his ministry, he used to preach, but he didn't used to pray for the sick. There was an African man who used to pray for the sick. So when he preaches powerfully, then this guy prays for the sick. And one day the guy decided to leave. So now there will be no more miracles. And he told somebody, he said, when I go, Bonnke is finished. But you see, you can't finish anything that God hasn't finished. I said, when I go, Bonnke is finished. Indeed. It was now that Bonnke started to rise. There are people who thought that our church was finished in Australia. True or not true? They said this church is finished. I tell you, watch and see. Yes. Once we go, it's finished. But we are now even rather transferring people from here to islands. And the church is now getting bigger. You are not the one shaking the bridge. I said, you are not the one shaking the bridge. Have I told you that story? Should I tell you again? There was a very big elephant. It was living in the forest and he decided to cross the river. And when he got to, but then there was a rat, a medium-sized one-talent rat. And the rat used to run all over the elephant. And he decided to see, because the ear of the elephant was a safe hole. So he used to climb the ear and go inside the hole and then stay there for the night. Yeah. So when the elephant decided to cross the bridge of the river, the elephant came and there was this shaky bridge. And when the elephant tested, and then the whole bridge started shaking. Hey! Then the second foot came on and was shaking. And the rat was now standing out and looking to see what is going to happen. Because he was at the very top. So, you know, even if I fall in the water, I'll be at the top part. And the next step, the bridge was shaking. 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 It was vibrating. Vibrating. Hey! The foundations of the bridge were shaking. Until the last step, and it came up. And then when the elephant got, he just shook it. And the rat couldn't control himself anymore. And he just went into the air and whispered to the elephant. And he told the elephant, we shook the bridge. We shook the bridge! Hallelujah! We are shaking the island. We are shaking the cities. For Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe we are going to shake the island and the cities? Tell somebody, we shook the cities. We shook the islands for Jesus. There shall be a rise of prosperity. I see you prospering in Jesus' name. Many of you are going to be able to give 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, 1 million. Receive it in Jesus' name. Number 13. There shall be a rise of people who do well. First Kings chapter 8, verse 17. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Thou didst well that it was in thine heart. You always do well when it is in your heart to build a house to the name of the Lord. He said, once it was even just in your heart, thou didst well. So there's going to be a rise of people who do well. And doing well is just having it in your heart to build the house of God. Just even having it in your heart. That what is in my heart is to build the house of God. Yes. Once you have in your mind and your heart to build the house, you are doing well. That's it. And David never actually built it. He just had it in his heart. Thou dates where it says, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house to my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Wow. How many want to do well? How many want God to say, thou didst well? All you have to do is to have it deep in your heart that I will build a house to the name of the Lord. Can we leave even one island? You know, we are soon going to sit down at a table and discuss that, look, this island has been left out. This island has been left out. There are going to be branches on the islands. Branches. Branches. North branch, south branch, west branch, east branch. Hey, more branches on islands with members and souls and buildings. Oh. People will one day be asking, so did the church start in Vanuatu or it started in Fiji? And you tell them that far away in Africa somewhere, some years ago, they will not even know the connection. They will not even know the relationship. Because it will have spread so much. They think that, oh, this is a church that originated from here. So, wow, yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. To happen. Yeah. And you see the pastors, oh, they'll be speaking language, this and that. They've never been to Africa before, never been anywhere. They just grew up there, were raised up as men of God from the town, from the islands. Thou didst well that it was in thine heart to build a house to my name. Not your own house, my house. Not your house, his house. That's why I'm giving you a good vision for your life. God will be looking at you and say, this man is doing well. This man is doing well. This guy is doing well. I like this guy. He's my guy. He's my boy. Thou didst well. So the double mega missionary church, it comes through the rise of prosperity. And it comes through the rise of people who do well. Number